This is TVET Talks, the GoVT podcast featuring global voices in vocational education and training.
Connecting ideas, sharing experiences, inspiring change.
So, let's talk TVET.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TVET Talks, our GoVT podcast on vocation education experiences around the world. I am Aline Moraes-Amling, Communications Officer for GoVT, and today I have here with me my colleagues, Hanna Kress, Chief Technical Advisor for Bilateral Cooperations, and Julia Olesen, Senior Technical Advisor. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Here at GoVT, the German Office for International Cooperation in Vocation, Education and Training, we work internationally and place great emphasis into learning from each other and keeping each other up to date. So today, we'll take you to Vienna in Austria to get to know more about an initiative that incorporates sustainability into vocational training aiming at climate neutrality.
Here we have three colleagues from Austria, from the Wiener Stadtwerke. Please introduce yourself. What do you do in this big city administration?
So my name is Dolores Pulic. I'm the deputy head of Central Apprenticeships Management at the Wiener Stadtwerke Gruppe. In this role, I'm responsible for supporting and further developing our apprenticeships programs across the whole group.
Yeah, my name is Gabriel Lodl. I'm an apprentice trainer at the Wiener Linien. It's a part of the Wiener Stadtwerke group. And yeah, I train electricians and mechatronics.
My name is Marlies Unterweger. I work in the Vocational Educational Training Management department of the Wiener Linien, and therefore I work for the Wiener Stadtwerke. And today I'm here as the head of the project Green Erasmus.
So why don't you give us a little bit of the inside? This is like a city based big company providing training in different services. What kind of services do you provide, and which professions are you actually training according to the Austrian dual system?
We are one of Austria's largest municipal infrastructure providers, so we play a key role in shaping Vienna's energy and mobility systems. We are a diversified infrastructure company owned by the city of Vienna. So our responsibility is to provide essential public services in areas such as energy supply, energy grids, public transport, real estate, but as well as funeral and cemetery services. We have around 18,000 employees, so we are quite a big company, and we ensure reliable access to essential services like electricity, heating, and mobility for the people of Vienna and the surrounding region.
So why do you train people? It's a costly business.
We do and need to educate young people in the field of vocational educational training because it's a high value we can provide in Vienna with our dual system. And we do need skilled workers who are already equipped to face future challenges.
Yeah, we are working for the city of Vienna, so we also operate in the public interest. Therefore, we need our apprentices, and this means that our goal is not like only our economic success, but also to provide essential services for the whole society in Vienna.
Now, you took on like a really big endeavor, like climate neutrality by 2040. What does that mean for the Wiener Stadtwerke, and what is your strategy?
Yeah, like climate neutrality means reducing greenhouse gas emissions as much as possible. And this means for us, we want to get to the net emissions are equal zero. So to achieve this big goal, we are driving a fundamental transformation for our energy and mobility systems. So we want to decarbonizing our energy supplies by expanding renewable energy and reducing fossil fuels. tools. We are improving energy efficiency and modernizing our infrastructure, especially our energy grids. We are also expanding sustainable mobility, which means particularly climate-friendly public transport. And we are also developing innovative solutions, including digital infrastructure and smart city projects. And for the last point, we are embedding sustainability across all our activities through ESG programs and our governance structures. So overall, we are working to create a climate neutral, a livable city while ensuring reliable and affordable services for all citizens in Vienna.
That is quite a strategy to fight climate change and quite a strategy for a public company. So what does it actually mean in concrete and specific terms for the vocational education and training within your company?
For the vocational educational training and the 21 fields we do educate, we need now to develop sustainability goals and put them into the structures which are already set by the government. So basically, the dual system in Austria, there are given structures by law. And the point and the goal of vocational educational training is to get to the final exam. So there are many obstacles to be taken, also safety and digitalization. For we are now working on the project Green Erasmus, and we do scan all the parts of the education and scan them with the help of research institutes in Vienna and also in Bonn in Germany, where to apply sustainability.
So based on the Green Erasmus project and other initiatives within your company, what kind of additional skills have you identified that your apprentices will need in the future, both looking at the technical skills, but also maybe cultural and social skills?
In technical terms, there are many skills to be learned. This field, I can only speak for electricians and mechatronics, but this field is rapidly changing. So what we learn today will not be consistent throughout the work life of those apprentices. And so essential skill is actually to enable them to learn by themselves and to figure out what is important for them own specific way. It's a really broad field, like electrical grids, all kinds of electrical applications. There's a lot of change throughout the field. So we can give them a base where they have common knowledge about the field and about what is currently important. But the real skill is to be able to figure out which information you're going to need in your day-to-day life and to find good sources for this information. Another point I want to mention is the importance of them own job, because a lot of people in this field lack of the understanding, why is my own job important? We have a lot of tasks to tackle, and for all those tasks, we need qualified technicians, and to see this as a personal perspective is important because it gives some sort of sense. So it's not, oh, I learned something and then I can only do this or this. I learned something and I can do a lot of things, and I can do a lot of important things for society and for myself.
I want to emphasize what Gabriel mentioned, the openness to change. That is a skill we want to teach our apprentices, because we know how rapidly the workforce is changing, and we need to equip them to be able to learn quickly future skills. Our challenge is to be clear with our apprentices, what does it mean to work sustainable? How can they manage it? For example, we do train in the field of information technology. So now in federal law, it is not mentioned that we have to teach them the energy sources of information technology equipment. But right now we have to, because thinking about the energy costs of artificial intelligence and therefore the cybersecurity which is engaged, there's no other way around. And right now, with the rapidly process of AI, we are not in a position where we can wait that the federal law can adapt these particular fields into the vocational educational training. So we have to be there first. And as we are such a big company, we are obliged to do that first.
Gabriel, something you mentioned really also caught my attention. You mentioned that, it's of course one part of the training is that you have to impart and transmit the technical knowledge, right? The other part is to teach how to use, for example, artificial intelligence, how to find solutions for sustainability problems, these kind of things. How would you say has your role as a trainer changed in the recent times through the strategy for more sustainability at Wiener Stadtwerke? Have you noticed any changes, and what were these changes?
The apprentices use a lot of AI tools and large language models to work with them and to source all sort of informations. And so this is an important part to show them, okay, not everything you get is legit and you gotta check it. So in electrician field, around 60% or some of the informations from ChatGPT is all right and you can use them, and 40% is just really confident hallucination. So,
that's quite a devastating result.
And it depends how deep you want to go. And if you ask about norms or something like that, it's even worse. But it's a good source to ask, where can I find this information? Like, in which code is this and this information? And then you can look it up yourself. And another point is different perspectives on a certain topic. So you have a topic like energy transportation and you need transformers for this and different devices. And you have the technical point of view, like how does it work and what is the principle it works on. Then you have like a point of view, why is it maybe important for society, that's can give you a point of sense. Like, okay, my work has some impact on other people. And then it's also a point of view, what does it mean in climate terms or in resource terms? Like, okay, a transformer is built of copper and, iron and some insulators. And where can we source these resources? Do we have them maybe in Europe? Why is it important that we, have things like recycling systems and stuff, because we can't source them in Europe, for example. So you have one topic and you can look at it from different angles. And yeah, that's something which changed.
Mm-hmm. By having these kind of discussions, I guess also the whole training process becomes more interactive with the apprentices, maybe than in former times it used to be. But also looking at, the old traditional way of apprenticeships and training, what would you say are the tensions maybe, or also maybe advantages that come out of transforming the traditional way of training to new requirements, also based on climate policy and also your strategy as a public corporation?
There is a field of or a conflict or a field of tension because different groups of people, and we have all sorts of groups in our company, have different priorities. I think there are different generational prioritization of problems, and most of the people which are working in my field, at least, don't see this as a number one problem.
Mm-hmm, certainly. Yeah.
And I would like to add one more point. Let's not forget we are a municipal group, which means we tend to fear a little bit of change, of a new thing. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer that new things can work at our company. But like I always said, that's our new generation, and they need new requirements. They need new. They have new topics that the older generation does not have. So we have to focus on that. And as already Gabriel and Marley said, it's quite a bit challenging, but we're keeping our trying our best to drive them in the right direction.
And Wiener Stadtwerk is not only a municipal organization, but it's also a large organization, as you said in the beginning. So I would like to look now at what such a large organization like yours need to actually learn in order to become climate neutral. Were there moments when you realized, oh, our training approaches are no longer sufficient for this transformation?
I do dare to say that there was no moment. It's a gradual process. And so it has, it gradually already also is part of our education. So please, Gabriel, help me out, because we are teaching our, we are instructing our apprentices, and we already talk to them about sustainability. We have talked to them about sustainability a few years ago, although it is not part of the federal law. And sometimes instructors like Gabriel are not even, they are aware they're doing that, but it's everyday business.
I think this part really depends on persons which are training the apprentices. So as we mentioned before, different persons have different sets of priorities, and then the person will mention it and will talk about it, and this discussion will start in the group.
And exactly that's the point where we take over responsibility. Our apprentices do not have to know when they start about the energy costs of artificial intelligence, but we take over responsibility and we do teach them. It's a gradual process, and all over the last year, we have to evaluate what we have done, and we have to also make visible what we are already doing and upgrade the system.
And so you're always emphasizing transformation process. So I would like to know for you personally, what has surprised you most during this process so far?
We are always talking about Gen Z. They don't want to work. They're not interested in anything. They're just on their smartphone, on social media, and so on and so on. So on. We know that topic. But I think that's not okay to say that. We see they have so many potential in them. They are trying to do their best. They're interested in their apprentices. So apprenticeship. So it's very important to build on that, to build a base, and then to build on that base the specific skills that they need. And it's a transformation process. Like every transformation process, it takes time.
What surprised me is when we started the project, it was clear that it will be an international project in a cooperation with Berlin, Bonn and Vienna. And when I was scanning international project about the topic of sustainability, I was quite surprised that the target was mainly strategic area, and that the instruction area is often neglected. So if you do have the perfect strategic paper, that's quite nice. But if you lack the ability and the motivation to translate it and talk to instructors and work with constructors and work with your apprentices, these strategic papers are not worth what they did cost European fundings.
The thing which maybe surprised me the most, or was a big learning for me, was that there's not a Gen Z or a generation this and that. They are all people, and they have different rankings of personal importance. And you gotta search for what is important to those people, to excite them, to be able to excite them. And that's something which is true for not only apprentices, but also older people.
I'm wondering, how do you actually ensure that it moves from becoming this very broad term, sustainability, to actually becoming a very practical aspect of everybody's professional identity? How do you do that?
We ensure that we are not writing purely strategic papers. As we do go into the factory floor, the ballast yards where really our instructors work, and we do work together with them from this perspective. And we do not give them a paper how to instruct our apprentices, but we work together with them on the strategy and on the impact, so we can really produce instructions who can be used in real work and educational life. In our team, no one is clinging on old systems who are old, who has to be reformed and upgraded. They are very brave to look into the future and really get the challenges going.
And so this is like a podcast where we would like to give some learnings also out to the community. What would you advise other public companies doing, providing services as you do? What is the really pivotal point to say, we are going on this track, it's not going to be easy, but we're going to be climate neutral by 2040. What would you think is important?
To go on this track, one really important point for me is to go Europe. We are part of the European nation. Different cities do face the same challenges, some of them before us, some of them maybe a few years later if we're looking at the climate change. So one crucial point is go Europe. In every city in Europe, there's sitting smart, intelligent people who are confronted with the same challenges and they are working on solution. And so we have to exchange these solutions.
Okay, so, well, we are coming to the end of our episode and to our final question. We are looking ahead to 2040. How do you think you would recognize in the future that the transformation in training and in the world of work has actually been successful?
Looking ahead to 2040, we would recognize that the transformation in training and also the world of work has been successful if the topic sustainability is fully embedded in everything we do, so in our daily business. So, I mean, for that success, that our employees have the right skills and also the mindset to actively drive the energy and also the mobility transition in the right way. So I think the main point is we have to do continuous learning, but also innovation and cross-disciplinary collaborations would also be like a part of our everyday work. We also would see workforce that is diverse. Gabriel already has mentioned it. And we have to be adaptable. And yeah, we have to handle new technologies and challenges. So it's a transformation process for all of us. It will start from digitalization to climate protection. So it's very broad portfolio. At the same time, we will measure success by the impact we create. So the main goal is a climate neutral Vienna by 2040. And I think we also have we have to keep that goal in mind all the time. So in short, we would know we have succeeded if sustainability is no longer like a separate goal for everybody, but it's a natural part of how we work and how we think and how we make our decisions every day in our daily business.
That would be nice.
I hope so.
For me personally, if we look at 2040, I would see that the transformation went well. If we have still a good sort of living, and as we all already mentioned, the Wiener Stadtwerke are service provider for most basic needs in Vienna. And if those things are running still great and we have a good standard of living and not too many problems, because there are many problems coming onto us, also connected with climate change, like migration, heat waves, like resource shortages. And we gotta find all sort of solutions for those problems. And if we still have a good way of living, we succeeded.
I want to highly agree with my colleagues and add for the sector of vocational educational training that we are successful if it becomes part of the federal law and part of the federal law concerning individual areas of the field.
So we are now at the end of our episode, and I would like to thank our guests very much, Dolores, Gabriel, and Malise, for talking Tibet with us and sharing your experience. Thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
And thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope this conversation inspired you into introducing change to vocational training for a climate neutral future. Until the next episode.
You've been listening to TVET Talks from GoVET, the German Office for International Cooperation in Vocational Education and Training.
More information on us and our services you'll find in our show notes and at our website, www.govet.international.
Until next time.
And let's keep talking TVET.